Go ahead and have a seat. Leading us in worship, but it's nice to start the day off with my favorite people. This is a good place to be. You sound really good this morning, those songs. We may take you on the road if we keep this up. It was 1977. I was in my beginning my third year of Bible college, and I got a phone call from the mission that my father was with, Village Missions. I've talked about Village Missions before. Mary Lou and I were with the mission for about 30 years as well. This mission goes into small towns, small churches that can't afford a pastor, sometimes towns that don't have a pastor, and they provide a pastor, and the pastors raise their salary, raise their income just like a missionary by support from others. And my dad has spent his whole life with that ministry. And so I get this phone call from the mission, and one thing you need to know, Village Missions, there's always more need than there are pastors. They always have a waiting list of churches or towns that have said, would you send us a pastor? And they were exactly in that circumstance at this particular time, and so which is what led to the call. There was a church not far from where I went to Bible college that had asked Village Missions to if they could provide him a pastor, and they didn't have any at the time. They had a list of needs, and they just didn't have pastors to fill those needs. So the director of the mission actually called my dad and said, I think that Paul would be interested, would be willing to fill that pulpit until we can find somebody to go there. And Dad said, well, I don't want to speak for Paul, but you can sure call and ask him. I know he'll pray about it. And so that led to the phone call, and they told me about this little church about 20 miles from where he went to school that needed a pastor, was asking for one, and asked us if we would, Mary Lou and I would be willing to go there. Now, by the way, my wife was about a year old in the Lord at that point. And of course, I've shared with you, when I proposed to her, I asked her about being a pastor's wife, and she said yes, so she didn't have excuses. But anyway, so here she is, a brand new believer. But we prayed about it in this situation. And just after praying about it, decided that we should say yes, and so called the mission back and said, yeah, we would go there. And so I remember my very first Sunday. I actually only had one message under my belt at that point. I was in a class. I just finished my class, my first class in the preaching area. It's called homiletics. So that had been the semester before. And what that class was, the whole semester, was developing a message. And so we'd do one part and then another, and we evaluated each other, and they videoed us, and so I had one message, and I had gotten a pretty good grade on it, so I was fairly comfortable that Sunday that I was going. Of course, I wouldn't think about the fact that I had to come up with another one the next Sunday, but I had this first Sunday covered, and I got up there, and I preached, met the people, and preached my one and only message to this and to that church family. And I've told you before, after I was finished, I was in the back just visiting with people, and one of the oldest ladies in the church, I don't know exactly how old she was, but Abai came up to me and grabbed my hands and shook my hand and looked me in the eye and said, that was the worst message I've ever heard. True story. That was my only message, and I thought it was good, so I was in real trouble. In fact, honestly, after that first Sunday, looking out and seeing people, and there weren't a lot of people, there were probably 15 or 20, but seeing those people, and then with Abai's critique on my message, I went home that day feeling like I am way over my head. I really, I have taken on more than I can handle. And I was really feeling the burden, as a, 21-year-old suddenly being thrust in this position. And so Monday morning came, and I had to go. I had to school. I was working almost full time and going to school full time. And so Monday morning came. I was at school, and I was visiting in one of the breaks with one of my buddies at there. And I was telling him how I was scared. I mean, I said, Jess, I don't know what I've done, but I don't know. I can't do this. I had no idea. And those people are expecting me to preach next Sunday, and I already preached my best worst sermon. And I was going through all this with Jess, and we were really good friends, and we were just kind of sitting there for a little bit, and got kind of quiet. And then Jess said, "Well, I need to talk to my wife first, but how about if my wife and I came alongside you and joined you in that ministry there? How about we could co-pastor? We're both heading to be pastors someday, and it'd be a really good experience for us. We could share that responsibility, and let me talk to Deb. But if you think that sounds good, then that might be something we can do." I could have kissed him. I can't even begin to tell you the weight, just that conversation lifted off my shoulders. And Deb and Jess did go on. They stayed and pastored with us for about a year and a half. Mary Lou and I ended up staying for 4 years at that church. Jess then went on to another ministry. In fact, we're still good friends. Jess and Deb he is pastor of an E-Free church up in Estes Park, Colorado. But how about if we come alongside you? What an amazing thing that was for me. In fact, it went from being crisis to being excitement about what God was going to do and what he did. And I tell you that story because it really fits in with where we're going next in our study as we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Go over with me, if you would, in your devices or your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we've been working our way through this study for a while. We'll have a couple more weeks and we'll be wrapping up this study on the Holy Spirit. But remember this passage, John, we talked to this a little bit about this last week. Jesus, at this point in his ministry, this is just prior to the cross, right? We're moving towards the cross. And in this section, what Jesus is doing is he's trying to prepare his disciples for what's about to come, for the fact that he's going to be leaving them. And so these are these conversations, chapter 14 on through, where he's gradually telling them more and more about what's about to happen. And so in John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." Down in that same chapter, skip down to verse 26, he goes on. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." Now, if you're one of these people that pays attention to details, you may have noticed that, because I put it up on there, that I'm not reading those verses from the translation I usually use. There are a lot of good translations out there. You probably all have your preference. This actually is my preference, the New American Standard Bible. This is the one that when I was in Bible college, they had us use. And it is, I believe, of the translations out there, the closest to the original language. But it also makes it kind of clumsy to read. I preach for the NIV, New International Version, because it's also a really good translation, but they also laid it out more like we speak. But I switched to the New American Standard Bible for what we're looking at right now for this reason, because what I like about it is the word helper. He says, "But the helper, I've asked the Father, and he'll send you a helper, but the helper, whom is the Spirit," and he uses that term, and the reason I like that term, in the NIV, which is what I usually preach from, it uses the word counselor. "I'm going to send a counselor to you," which I think loses some of the significance of the word that's actually used here in the original language. When you hear the word counselor, What does it bring to mind? I don't know about you, but to me, it's a picture of someone that maybe I've asked for some advice, you know, or maybe I paid them. I'm walking through some life issues, and so they're known to be a good counselor, and so I paid them to give me counsel, to help me think through what I'm going through or what I'm going to do or what direction I'm supposed to go. That's kind of what I think of with counselors. Sometimes it's very natural. You were having a conversation and, you know, a friend or your wife or your husband says, well, here's what I would do. And so that's what I think of when I hear the word counsel. But the word that is here, the Greek word parakletos, which I've talked about before, it's bigger than that. It means more than that, I think. It's more powerful than that. Let me give you an illustration. Not all of you like football, but I like football. And you're watching the game, and it's your favorite team, and then all of a sudden they'll say, uh-oh, player's down. You know, and you're always like, well, which one is it? You know, is it Mahomes? Oh, please don't be Mahomes. I heard my son, actually, I think he's almost down on his knees in tears when Mahomes got hurt at one point this year because he's a big Kansas City fan. And then they check him out and they send the trainers out and the coach comes out and they see how he is. And then everybody cheers because, you know, some of the players, they help the player up. And if it's serious enough, though, then what will happen is either a couple of the other players or a couple of the trainers, they'll help him up and they'll put an arm around each other and they'll kind of carry the weight as he gets off to the sidelines. And that's a better picture of what this word means. Someone who comes alongside you, someone who actually carries your weight, carries the weight with you. And that's what he's saying to his disciples at this and his followers, which includes us, is I'm going to send, when I'm gone, I'm sending you the helper. And he's going to help you carry the weight, the weight of moving towards godliness, the weight of right living. And remember, once he comes to live within us, as we talked about a few weeks ago, he's there forever. So that's a pretty cool thought when you think about it. But how does he help us? That's what we're going to look at these next couple weeks. How does he help us? How does he come alongside us? How does he help carry the weight and give us direction? Because that's part of it as well. Well, Jesus tells us that the helper will teach us. He will teach us. What's he going to teach us? All things, it says. Well, what does this mean? Well, for you kids, if you have a math test coming up this week, I'm going to tell you that it doesn't mean you don't have to study for the test. You know, throw the prayer up and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you live in me, I'm a believer, and so give me the answers because I didn't study for this. It's not what it means. I will tell you from personal experience, that doesn't work. I tried that on a few occasions, and it didn't work out. That's not what we're talking about here. It doesn't mean if you're supposed to give a presentation tomorrow that you ought not spend some time thinking through your presentation at work because thinking, well, Holy Spirit, he teaches me all things. He'll come through. I don't need to worry about that. That's not what's going on. Besides, we have Google to answer all of our questions, right? And it's on the internet, so you can believe it. That's not the context here. The context here is, and we've talked about this before, is Jesus. Jesus. He'll teach us anything we need to know about Jesus and about how to be like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. Remember, we've already talked through that and talked. He's going to teach us everything we need to know about Jesus because he is all about Jesus. If there's some important information that I need to know about my Savior, then the Holy Spirit is going to make sure that I have that knowledge. And you have that knowledge. Starting, as we saw last week, with giving me the knowledge originally that I even needed a Savior, that I was a sinner, that I was in trouble, and I needed help if I was ever going to have a relationship with God the Father and look forward to eternity with Him. But not only that, we also see that He puts in our minds, that's what remembrance means there, He will actually put in our minds whatever we need to remember about what Jesus taught, and in whatever situation we need to remember that. If we need it, then the Holy Spirit's going to give us that information. He's going to come alongside us and bring to our mind what we need to know when we need to know it. Now, part of this had to do, I think, in a direct way with the men He was talking to at that moment, because four of those men, after Jesus has died on the cross and gone back to be with His Father, God is going to use four of those men to actually write out testimony about Jesus as He walked on this earth. Write out word for word, verbatim, the words, the things He taught them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to be instructed to do that. And what this is saying to those guys is when the time comes that you're supposed to write this out, the Holy Spirit will put in your minds exactly what you need to write and cause you to remember exactly the details, the accounts, the things that took place that will be important for my followers to understand and to know for their own growth in the future. And so we're looking at one of those testimonies, John, right now. We are reading things that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, came alongside him and put in his mind as he began to write out this eyewitness testimony of what Jesus said, what Jesus did while he was on earth. Holy Spirit put it in his mind. But he does the same thing for us as well. It's not just them. And he's not going to use you to write new scripture. That's already been completed. And he tells us not to mess with that in the Word of God. So you aren't going to be writing any new scripture. But he is going to bring to mind things that you need to know when you need to know them regarding Jesus Christ or just things you need to know about the Word of God. Let me give you an example. This happened to me yesterday. Yesterday morning, I got a phone call. I missed it, and so they left a message. And this phone call was from a young pastor friend of mine. I've told you before, one of the ministries that Mary Lou and I the last couple of years have taken up with is called Standing Stone. And this is a ministry for pastors who have served a lot of years in the ministry to come alongside young pastors. To be a listening ear, just to, you know, they're going through things they've never gone through before, you probably had or something like it, and so you can listen to them. And sometimes it's to give counsel, sometimes it's to get together with them just to encourage them. And so we've been doing that now for a couple of years. And so one of the pastors, one of the young pastors that I've been involved with and we talk on a regular basis, he's a few hours away, so we usually talk by phone. And so he called, he left this message, and the message was talking about a situation that he was in, and his description of what it was, Paul, this is a doozy on the message, and then he began to describe the situation, and he was right, it was a doozy, and he said, as he closed the message, he said, if you get a chance to call me, I need to talk to somebody about this, and he said, if not, please just pray. He was supposed to be having a meeting later on yesterday, and it was going to be around this whole situation. And so when I got the message, I was going to drive to church, so our modern technology, I could call him on the way. And so I called him up, and I said, hey, Daniel, I just read your message. And you're right, this is a doozy. Now, let me back up a little bit, because before I called him, I hesitated. Because I thought, I got nothing to say to him. I don't know what to tell him. This situation, it's a tough one, and I don't have any counsel to give him. And then, Lord, I spoke to my heart, and I thought, well, I can at least call and pray for him. So I'll do that. And so I call him up, and he answers, and I say, hey, Daniel, got your message. And I said, wow, man, that's a big deal. And I'm not sure what to tell you. And then something happened. A thought came to my mind. I said, well, Dan, I just thought of something. Maybe you could, this might help. This might work. And right as I was finished talking about what that was, I said, and then also, you know what? This here's another idea you might want to try. We used to end up talking a half hour. And all that half hour, I'm giving him ideas. Where did that come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. My helper came alongside me. He knew this young man needed more than just, hey, I don't know, good luck, buddy. I'm sorry, I can't help you. He needed more than that. I didn't have more than that until I needed to. And it was the Holy Spirit stepping up beside me and helping me counsel this young pastor and give him some direction. And then we prayed together, and Lord willing, he came out of that conversation with some hope and with some ideas and some direction by God. That's what we're talking about here. But it's other things as well. Here's another aspect of what the Holy Spirit does in helping us know the things that we need to know about Jesus. I have probably 20 Bibles. And I would guess that 4 or 5 of them are worn out to the stage that I don't use them anymore because if I open them out, the pages fall out. Now, I'm not telling you that to say, oh, boy, that's why he's a pastor, he reads the Bible. No, that's not the truth. I'm telling you that. Here's an interesting thing about me that you need to know. Well, you don't need to know, but it probably won't come up in trivia test. I'm one of those guys that I never read books twice. There are probably 2 books that I can think of that I've read more than one time. You know, I can't stand it. It bores me. Not only that, I feel like it's a waste of time. I already read this. I got other things to do. I hear people talk about, well, this is my favorite movie. I watch it at least once a year. I don't do that because I already saw it. Why would I want to see it again? I can tell you what's happening. I'm not that person. Except when it comes to this book. You know, the Bible, when I work my way through a Bible, I'll use a Bible for quite a while, and every time I read the chapter, I put a dot by it. And the Bible I'm working through right now, it's at home in my little study by my lazy boy chair, you open it up, and you'll get to Psalms, and you'll notice all the way to Psalms, there are 3 dots by every chapter. And someday, Lord willing, there'll be 3 dots by every chapter throughout the Bible. And I've got Bible after Bible just like that. I keep reading them. Why? Because every time I read it, God shows me something new that I never understood before or that I need to know that day. Last time I read it, I didn't need to know it. But that day I did. And this has been going on for years. Same things I read before. But the Holy Spirit shows me something new that I really needed for that moment. I keep all those Bibles because I write in the margins. And all through it, there's lines, things I underline, and little things in the margins where God has shown me something that I don't want to forget. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He wants to do it for all of us. He opens up the pages of Scripture to us and teaches us amazing new things. Honestly, it's a trip. You're reading words you've read before, but this time, God's Spirit says, no, there's something you need to see here, Paul, that you haven't noticed before. Remember when you were, before you were a believer, before you were a follower of Christ, sometime you're in a motel and you saw that Gideon Bible and you pulled it out I'll just read a little bit of this. And if you're like a lot of us, you read about 3 sentences and you said, I don't understand any of this. This was written for people a long time ago because it doesn't make a bit of sense to me. And you shoved it back in the drawer. And then you became a believer. And something happened the first time you were reading Scripture. Suddenly, you saw something leaped off the page at you. And you understood it. Not only did you understand it, you thought, wow, that applies to me. That applies to me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. That helper, that counselor that lives in us, always lives in us forever. He's always there, and He wants us to know Jesus. Know Jesus because of the things that we see in each other's lives, but know Jesus because of the things that He teaches us in His Word. One more thing before we close this morning. I'll go over to John chapter 16. John 16, and we looked at this verse last week or maybe the week before, I can't remember, but I want us to focus in on something. It says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. We've talked about that. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The word truth, He's called the Spirit of truth, but then He says He's going to guide us into all truth. The word truth there, what it means is true in any matter under consideration. True in any matter under consideration. I know that the culture says there is no such thing. That you know, you have your truth, I have my truth, but you can't force me to believe your truth. Well, there are things that are true, period. And the Bible says one of the things that our helper does for us is He helps us discern what is truth. Whatever the matter that is under consideration, He helps us discern what is truth. That's the purpose of our next series, is to decipher some of the things we're looking at in the world around us and compare it to truth under any consideration. The Holy Spirit does that for us. Could have been translated truth in reality, truth in certainty. I sometimes refer to it as true truth, you know? This is true truth. You know, people say, we all got our own truth. No, there's certain things that are true truth. You may not believe it, but it is true. And He does that for us. He directs us. He helps us discern what is actually true. And then this verse brings up one more thing He does for us. You know, in this crazy, mixed up world where you know, in our own personal lives, we have enough things to deal with on our own. Sometimes it's overwhelming. I get that. It's overwhelming. And then you add into that scenario, the things that are happening in the culture around us, and it's like, wow, you know, Lord, this is crazy. Well, you know, on those days when it gets just absolutely overwhelming, the weight is just too heavy to carry. One of the priorities that the Holy Spirit does in our life, has for us, our helper, brought out in this verse, is just about the time you're saying, I can't take this. The Holy Spirit steps in and says, yeah, well, you won't have too much longer. Because God's got a future plan for you. And some of it has to do with the present, this world now, and it is so cool. It is so wonderful. And then some of it goes on into eternity. But whatever you're going through right now, let me tell you what's yet to come. Because it's worth it. And Paul wrote that one time. He says, "I, the suffering, whatever it might be that you're going through at this present time, isn't even worth comparing what is to come." And it's the Holy Spirit, our helper. It's His responsibility. It's His pleasure to step in and say, "Yeah, it's tough, but guess what's coming?" Let's pray. Father, thanks. Thanks for your word. Thanks for your love for us that knew that we were going to need a helper. We were going to need somebody to come alongside us. And the amazing thing is that our helper lives in us forever. We saw it in your word, forever. There's no way where I can go that God the Spirit isn't in me. My helper isn't right there. And he I carry some of the weight, but he carries most of it. Even when I don't realize that's the case, that's what he's there for. He's there to help lift me up, lift us up, to give us direction, to teach us about our Lord so that we can be more like him, to remind us that our future is amazing, and so we should never lose hope. Lord, thanks for your word and just your love for us and just that knowledge you have given us, and thanks for the helper. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Well, church, before we leave this morning, let's stand, let's sing one last chorus together.
My refuge and strength always. I will not fear, 'cause his promise is true. My God will come through always.
I lift my eyes
up. My help comes from the Lord.
More time, sing it out. I lift my eyes up.
My help comes from the Lord.
As we close, our prayer team is going to come to the front. If you want someone to pray with this morning, they'd be glad to do that. Otherwise, have a great week. We'll see you next time.